That was a delicious story. Kind of hard to swallow, though, wasn't it, Troy? All right, to begin with today, we'd like to say, Ha'oli la ho'omaika'i. Omaika'i. Omaika'i? What am I trying to say? Happy Thanksgiving to all. Right? Happy Thanksgiving. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving? Was it good? It was the most unusual Thanksgiving meal I've ever had in my life. We were graciously invited to the Uechis. They had a whole house full there. But what they did was, it was a very busy week, I guess. So they went to Taco Bell the day before and they shaped a burrito in the form of a turkey. And they had two carrots sticking out for the legs or something. I'd never had that before. So we all just, that was really good. Julia was great. I'd never had that before. Really good. Okay. They're just dying, saying, last time we invite you, Pastor. No, of course not. But we did have a wonderful time. Well, on this Thanksgiving Sabbath, I want to let you know that we have some special guest speakers. And I'm going to invite them to come sit up here. We've got Gail Asatani, who's going to speak in a while. Gail, if you could come sit over here up front. And Jasmine Kono, if you could come up. I need to have these ladies sit right up in the front. They are co-speakers this morning by way of testimony that they'll give in just a few minutes. But I also need to have you ladies sit here because I just to make sure you don't try to escape, okay? And get out of this. We need to keep our eyes on you. All right. But thank you for helping us out this morning, both of you. On this Thanksgiving Sabbath, we have a gentleman to tell you about who has all the reason in the world to be thankful. You listen to this and tell me if you wouldn't be thankful if it had happened to you. First of all, Bill. Bill suffered a massive heart attack. And while that's no cause for being grateful, while he was being treated, a drug was given to him that caused a severe allergic reaction. His heart stopped for 14 minutes. And he went into a coma. So far, no reason to be jumping up and down, right? The good news is that 12 days later, he woke up and fully recovered. Wouldn't you be thankful the rest of your life if you'd been dead for 14 minutes and you woke up out of a coma, fully recovered, no lasting effects? How many would say praise God for that? Amen. But that was just the start of his good fortune. In the following year, you see, Bill was a single guy, but in the following year, Bill met and finally married the girl of his dreams. She was absolutely everything he ever could have dreamed for in a girl. So now his life is saved. He marries the girl of his dreams, and then he proceeded on to win not one, but two. Guess. What was that? Marathons? Oh, you're so pure and innocent. Good, good. Lotteries. Lotteries. He won two lotteries. But that's not all. He also entered a contest and won a $17,000 car. Well, the media was all over him. They thought this is amazing. This is apparently a true story. As you might expect, a TV station wanted to interview Bill, tell his story. So they asked him to go back to the store where he bought one of his winning lotto tickets and to reenact the event for the cameras. He was happy to oblige. As he was filmed buying and scratching another ticket, the 37-year-old man registered a stunned look on his face. I'm not joking, he cried out. I just won $250,000. The news media called him, I bet you can fill in the blank, the what man in the world? The luckiest man in the world. But after I read that account, I would say that after all those things, in the very least, he should be one of the most what? Grateful, thankful people in the world. Speaking of gratitude, What did we just celebrate? When did we celebrate Thanksgiving? Easy question. When was it? Thursday, right? And when we celebrated it, who were we expressing our thankfulness to besides the Taco Bell turkey cooks? We were expressing it to who? To family, to friends, and especially to God, right? Now, they get a little trickier. How often does Thanksgiving come? Once a year, all right? So we're saying that basically once a year we give thanks to God on the last Thursday in November. Is that right? Okay. Is that the way it's supposed to be, though? Are we supposed to limit our thanksgiving to God only in the last Thursday of November? Do we save up all our gratitude and finally let it explode once a year just as someone says the blessing and we dig into the fatted veggie span? Well, this all leads us to ask, which day is Thanksgiving? Are you sure it only comes once a year? I believe there's only one way to find out, and that's by turning to the right answer, by turning to the right book. Please turn to the good book, the Holy Bible, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to do something heretical, and we may change times and laws here. Does Thanksgiving, should it only come once a year? When was Thanksgiving first celebrated in Hawaii? Officially, the first royal proclamation made Hawaiians celebrated Thanksgiving. Anyone know what date? December 31st. December 31st, but they went and they changed it the next year to fall in line with the last Thursday in November. We might change it ourselves, though. When is Thanksgiving, according to the Bible? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Paul is speaking here, and he says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord once a year, giving thanks to God the Father for everything." Isn't that great? So once a year we should be praising God and worshiping Him. Isn't that beautiful? So we should only celebrate Thanksgiving once a year. Isn't that what the verse says? Well, what does it say? Oh, wait a minute. How about once a quarter? No, I know when we should celebrate Thanksgiving. 8 to 10 days after the full moon when the jellyfish come in, right? Is that it? No, it says always, Paul says, giving thanks. And 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Of course, it's great to have an annual day of Thanksgiving like we have. Really, that's wonderful. But don't forget these words. The Holy Spirit is speaking through Paul to tell us that an attitude of gratitude shouldn't be saved up for only when you win the lottery or a new car. Paul says, don't save it up. Express your gratitude in all circumstances. Always, continually be praising God. You know what we did for worship last night? We thought we'd mix things up a bit. So we changed this a little bit. After preparing this little sermonette here, I thought, you know, let's do something different. Let's thank each other for something we've never thanked each other for before. So we went in our family and we thanked each other for things we had never actually expressed in Thanksgiving before. I said, Noah, I'm thankful that I could hear you play the piano. And he said, Daddy, I'm not thankful for that. But I was, because I love it. Well, we said, God expresses something to God. Is there anything that you've never thanked God for? It was a wonderful opportunity. And so I invite you at our Sound of Rain prayer time tonight at 5:30. Might be a good time to come and express, you know what? I've never thanked God for what? I've never thanked my spouse or children for what? You know what? There's particular people in my life I've never thanked. Have you ever thanked your mailman? In Michigan, he's really deserved thanks because he was there during high snow and tornado warnings, things like that. If you thanked your policemen, your military personnel, right? We should always be in a state of gratitude and praise, not just once a year. But I've got to admit, is it always easy to stay in an attitude of gratitude? Is that always easy? No, it's not always easy. Are you praising God when someone, when you get a really expensive bill in the mail? Are you saying, thank you, Lord? Well, you know, one of our family told my wife, you know, she has a bad sprain in her ankle. And one of the kids said, Mommy, you can be thankful that you didn't sprain the other leg too. And you're right, dear. Thank you. But she was thankful. She saw the light in that. In other words, gratitude is often a matter of perspective, right? Listen to this. An example of this, one young lady wrote home from college saying, Dear Mom and Dad, sorry I haven't written sooner, but I broke my right arm and my left leg. Oh no. Imagine the parents reading this. You get a letter home from college from your kids. I broke my leg and arm when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when the fire broke out. Oh no. But we were lucky. Someone saw the blaze and called the fire department. While I languished in the hospital, the man who called the fire department came to see me every day, and he was so nice that 3 weeks later we got married. And now I'm the mother of his 7 children from his 4 previous marriages. I hope things are fine with you. We're learning how to adjust to living in the van here. Love your daughter, Susie. Oh, P.S. None of the above is true. But I did get a C in sociology and flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to keep this news in perspective. You see, you may have a lot of problems and heartache that can't be easily brushed aside, and probably none of us are hurting more than the Nishikawas right now, and yet they're keeping things in perspective. Koji keeps saying, I'm so proud of my son. He was so good. I'm so thankful for the time God gave him to us. See, that's perspective. Yes, there's tears. Yes, there's grief. But they're keeping things in perspective. I'm so thankful for the time God gave him to us. Think about this. If I were to hold up a donut, imagine a donut, and ask people what they saw, an optimist would say, I see a donut. But a pessimist would say, maybe Brandon knows, I see a what? A hole. That's right. I see a hole. Either life to you is a donut, or it's a hole. And you can think in your mind right now about your family members, about friends, whatever. They're either donut people or hole people, right? Donut or hole people. That's how they look at things. Koji's looking at the donut, not the hole. He's keeping things in perspective. Well, this morning, we're very privileged because we have a couple of members who recently faced some challenges. And while they weren't life-threatening, nevertheless, they were very real circumstances that loomed great in their lives, and they were nonetheless stressful. And so they're going to express their gratitude today and how God helped give them perspective in helping them with these things. I love testimonies. God's people shouldn't just be listening to a preacher every week. They should be hearing from the body of Christ and what God has done and is doing for them. And so I'm going to invite Gail up here. And Gail, please tell us some of your journey and share with us how God has blessed you of late and why you're so thankful today. Come on up. Oh, and let's give you this microphone right here. Let me give him this one, Mom.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Upside down. Today, I'm really thrilled to be able to share this story with you. And it's been a very stressful year for me, and my family has gone through some very rattling situations. So I just wanted to share with you how God has helped us. I'm so thankful that God was able to turn a disaster in our family into many miracles. and blessings. My favorite Bible text is Romans 8:28, and it says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And this promise is absolutely true. Back in January, we discovered that my auntie Helen, who lives with my dad, had fallen and broken her tailbone. She couldn't walk or even get out of bed. After a week in the hospital and several weeks in rehab, she was released. But she couldn't go home. She lived in a second floor apartment and couldn't walk up the steps. So we were advised to get her into a care home. And God led us in a miraculous way to the De Guzman family. Now, they had just renovated their house, a five-bedroom facility for people who were older. And their house was only 5 minutes away from my dad's place, so it just seemed like the perfect spot. And when I arrived there, I was so shocked because the woman who came out recognized me and she said, "I know you. Don't you teach at HMEI? My children go to your school." And it turned out that she was a member of Central Church, and she had been praying for someone to fill a spot in her home. And it was just the most ideal spot for my auntie. Well, after a while, I just noticed that auntie was doing much better than we had anticipated. And when I talked to the caregiver, Carolyn, she said, "Yeah, auntie's doing way better than everybody else here." And I asked her if she thought auntie might be able to come out and like live like a normal person at home. And she said, "Yeah, I think so." So now we had to find a place for my auntie on a first-story ground floor apartment. And I was impressed that we should take my auntie in to our home. There's one problem, and that was that there were tons of steps at our house and only three bedrooms, and I have two children. And so I kind of tried to wiggle my way out of it, and I said, "Well, Lord, you know, I tell you what, I'll make a deal. If you give me a 4 to 5 bedroom house that I can afford, that has no steps, that has a walk-in shower for auntie, and it has to have a patio for my dog and a yard with a fence, then I'll do it. I'll take her in." And I thought, no way, no way. And I was walking to class one day, and I was impressed to call the conference office. Now, I live in a conference house. The church owns a bunch of parsonages. And I called the conference, and I asked them if they had any such house. And they said, "Well, everyone's living in a house right now. You know, they're all used up." But they said, "Hey, this summer, the Kakazus are moving to California, and, you know, their house might be just like that." And so I went to check it out, and sure enough, it was like everything that I had prayed for, it was. I was in shock. And as we were driving away from the house, I was telling my family, you know, "I really think that this is what we need to do. God is asking us to do this thing." And I thought about how we needed to find something for my auntie in the meantime. I was so excited. I was like a crazy person. But the next day, I told my dad, "Let's go out and look for an apartment for you and dad on the ground floor so that she doesn't have to stay in the care home for another 4, 5, 6 months because it's super, super expensive." So I said a little prayer and asked God to please help us to find an apartment for her because I didn't have time to go apartment shopping. Please make it the first place that I call. And the first place that I went to see was perfect. It was a 2-bedroom apartment, ground floor. Park your car and you walk right into the house. There's a garden outside. They had just renovated the house to have like a walk-in shower. And the lady who was in charge of the rental was so helpful and put in bars for my auntie, and she told me I was an answer to her prayer because she had turned down several people over the last 3 weeks, and we were just so thrilled that they were able to stay in this place, and it was only 2 blocks away from where I worked, and I was going there every day to help auntie with her baths and things like that, so it was very convenient. It was also a one-year lease, but she agreed to give the apartment to us for 6 months, which is what we needed. 6 months brought us to the date when my daughter Brittany went off to college. When Brittany went off to college, it would open up her room for Auntie. So, sorry. Once we got all our things into this house, we realized that there wasn't very much storage space there. And so we went out and bought a storage unit, but that only fit our garden tools and lawnmower. So we sent up another prayer. Now, for some kind of a garage situation, maybe that we could have a place to store our things. Well, right about then, the Abbotts came. And as we were driving to church that morning, I noticed that their garage had a door on it. And the garage was enclosed, and all of a sudden I remembered this story I had heard about how 20 years ago the conference had decided to enclose all of the conference houses' carports so it would be more secure and safe and they could have storage. But nobody had ever done it. They had agreed to it, but they had never done it, and for 20 years nothing had been done. But just recently the new administration had found the minutes for these meetings, and they were going to follow through. And so you got the first carport enclosed. And then it hit me. Oh, that's what I need to do. I need to ask the conference to push me up on the list. Well, Pastor Ralph Watts was here that day to welcome the new pastor's family. And he had golfed with my husband before, so we were like kind of buddies, you know. But anyway, we're out in the potluck room. And I kind of told him the situation, and, well, to make a long story short, we now have a garage that's enclosed, and we're able to store things safely. So that was such a big answer to prayer. Now, the last problem we had was that we don't have a fence around our yard, and we have a cute little dog, and poor thing, she has a porch, but there's no fence yet. There's a partial fence, but she can run away. So we kind of have her chained up when we leave. And I had thought, oh, no problem. I'll go get a fence put up. I'll go, like, find out how much it costs. And I almost fainted when I found out how expensive a fence is. Oh, my stars. And so I just really didn't know what to do. And, well, President Watts stopped by HMEI one day and said, hey, how's the garage? Is there anything else you need? Well, we're going to get a fence. he sent the new acting treasurer to see our house. And not only are they putting up a fence, we were going to put this tiny little one just to enclose our dog. They're going to enclose the whole yard. And they're going to put up a pretty fence. Not like the ugly one we had been thinking of. That was really cheap. So when he left, I was like doing the oh yeah dance, you know, in the house. My dad and my husband were just shaking their heads and laughing at me. But you know what? God is good. He can take a complete disaster and turn it around into a tremendous blessing. My dad and my auntie, they helped pitch in with expenses. So there's another prayer I had about how am I going to send my daughter to college? That's so expensive. So that's helping us out in that area. Another prayer answered. Now, the five of us under one roof definitely has its challenges, adventures, and some embarrassing moments. But the blessings far outweigh them. Now, there's one last thing, and that is that my auntie is not a Christian. She doesn't know Jesus. And my prayer to God is that he'll reach out to her through somebody, anybody, somehow, and win her heart. And I ask that you pray for my auntie and my family. And hopefully God will answer that one last part of my special prayer for her. Thank you.
Amen.
Aloha and good morning.
Aloha.
My name is Jasmine Kono, and I have recently moved back to Hawaii after being in Southern California for 23 years. It's been a dream for my husband and I to return home. But if any of you have ever made a long-distance move, you know that it takes a lot of planning and that sometimes it just doesn't work out like you have planned. Back in April, Greg, my husband, accepted a job here. At that time, the housing market was not as bad as it is now. We planned for Greg to return here in June, and I would bring the kids later in July. On July 25th, the kids and I arrived in Hawaii. About a week later, we found a house. We moved in August the 11th with all our goods from the mainland. The kids started school that same week. Everything was going as planned. I returned to California on August the 25th to continue working as a dental hygienist. The following week, we got an offer on our house, and I thought, awesome. Praise the Lord. Everything was working out perfectly. I would stay and work another 4 to 6 weeks and then join my family. Escrow was to close on October the 8th. My last day of work would be the 10th, and I'd fly back home on the 12th. The 8th came and went, and about a week later, escrow had not closed. We had found out that buyers could not get funding. I thought, what? That changes everything. That's when we started to panic. Well, maybe just I panicked. My husband always stays pretty calm. I always tell this story about how my husband could be asleep in bed and the Grim Reaper could be laying and standing over him. And he'd just say, hey, wake me up when it's time to go. Well, here I was in beautiful Hawaii with no escrow, no job. I can't work here because I don't have a Hawaii license. I only have a California license. Around the same time, I broke my toe. I had never broken a bone in my body, but that's another story. Things seemed pretty bad. I started to think we'd have to send the kids to a different school. We'd have to move in with Greg's brother and sister-in-law. Not that they knew that. The devil knew that I was at a very low point, and he kept working on me. I became very sad and depressed. That day, I called Greg, and I left a message, and I was on the verge of tears. I said, did we make a mistake? He called back immediately. He was very concerned. I could tell in his voice, and he just said, no, I don't think so. Deep down inside, I knew we had made the right decision. I just needed to be strong. I prayed for God's help. I knew I just had to have faith. Give it to God. So many people had told me that. Many of the members here had told me that. Give it to God. There's even one special person who saw how worried I was and took me aside and prayed with me. That person was Gabriella. I wanted to tell her how much that meant to me and that wonderful act of kindness will be with me forever. We as human can't help but be worried, but when the burden becomes too great, we need to let God help us carry the burden. Once I finally let God help me, I did feel less stressed and less worried. Like a true blessing, in the same week, we received news that first, we had new buyers, and second, that I was hired to work on the Navy base as a dental hygienist. I was so grateful and just want to say thank you, God. God is so good. We hope to close escrow in about 10 days, and I start my new job on Tuesday the 2nd. My message to all of you is don't lose faith, even at your lowest point. God will be there. You just need to ask for his help. He's always there, always listening, ready to help you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, what did Paul say? 1 Thessalonians, give thanks to God in all circumstances, praying always. And it wasn't easy for these ladies, but God got them through. And that's a great example and encouragement to us that God is going to get us through as well. Well, I hope you stay for our fellowship meal and we can continue sharing some of these ways that we can express our gratitude and keep our perspective. And come to Sound of Rain tonight if you would like. But in any case, be praising God in all things. And we're so happy for both of you that God has really come through and you've seen it. And praise His name. Loving Father God, thank You that it is certainly true. You have done more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. You have. And for what You've done, and most of all for who You are, a God of perfect, self-sacrificing love, a God plenteous in mercy, a God totally trustworthy, we praise You and thank You. And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.